Lights. Camera. Action. It's the KSL Movie Show.
They won't fear it until they understand it, and they won't understand it until they've used it.
The week's big movie review, movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
What are you doing here? Thinking about turning our house into a nuclear power plant?
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Every once in a while they make movies, Steve, that there's a kind of an apprehension around from other people. I remember Joker was one of those a couple of years ago where nobody's seen it yet, but they're pretty sure they know what it's about, or they think they know what it's about. And so then sometimes they're like, well, I don't want to see that because I think it's going to be like this.
Oh, yeah. Preconceived notions.
Preconceived notions. And I felt that vibe a lot for our big movie of the week, Civil War.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of people ask me, okay, well am I going to like it? You know, who does it bash the most? I've had that question. And so it was really interesting to actually finally see it. And now we can tell you about it as we give our review of the big movie of the week, Civil War.
Citizens of America,
the so-called Western forces of Texas and California
have suffered a very great defeat at the hands of the United States military.
Now, our big movie of the week, sponsored by Paris RV, who has over 1,200 RVs in stock ready for your outdoor adventures. And they're sure to have the RV you're looking for, so check them out at their four locations or at parisrv.com.
I guess the first dead giveaway was when they named the president Ronald Thump. Come on. No,
they didn't do that, by the way, everyone who's listening. They did not do that. It was a random name, and it was played by Nick Offerman. That's who you heard in the clip. But
right.
Really, the president doesn't have much in the movie at all.
No, he doesn't. He's in a third term, though. That's sort of suggestive.
Well, and honestly, just from that clip, you can kind of get an idea that the focus of this movie is not on how this is a division. You know, what if Texas and California ever agreed on history?
That was my number one thing. It was like, oh, so this is a fantasy adventure. Okay.
But I think it is. And so, but basically the plot, we follow actually Kirsten Dunst, who plays a photographer who's been a war photographer. She's been at the front lines. We're kind of in the final stages of this Civil War. They don't ever say what year it is. They don't even say how long it's been going on. But we're getting to kind of the end stages. And so what we hear on the radio from the official government is kind of what we heard a lot. It felt like from Baghdad Bob in Iraq when the U.S. forces were invading. Was, you know, whatever you hear from the official statement in any kind of battle is always going to be the most rosy possible.
Sure.
And then as you go along and as you're following with the reporters, there's a reporter, there's Kirsten Dunst, and then one of her mentors who's an old-style journalist. I forget who played him.
Oh, I've got his name. It's like three.
Oh, actually, we have it listed here because Gustavo does all that work. Nelson Lee?
Nope. No.
Jefferson White?
Nope.
Okay, then he's not listed on here.
Stanley.
Wait, Wagner Mora?
No, that's the guy that's the other journalist.
Yeah,
Wagner Mora. Who are you thinking of? I was thinking of the.
I was thinking of the big guy.
Yeah, his name is Stephen. It's three names.
Oh well, we don't have him on here. Stone will look it up for us. At any rate, so they're traveling and they want to get to D.C. before their secessionist forces make it there because they want to be there for the moment when basically the war ends. But they've got to journey through a pretty rough wasteland of what this civil war has left behind.
He's got it right there.
Stephen McKinley Henderson.
Yeah, great actor. Great actor. I thought this was interesting that they chose photojournalists. That way the picture tells the story. And that gets them out of, the bias of...
There's no narrative because it's just a picture.
Exactly. So you have to, the picture tells the story. I thought that was brilliantly handled because that will give you a more of a unbiased, picture. The idea that New York City and Washington, D.C. they're only like 250 miles apart. But you'll notice...
It's a short drive if you can take the freeway.
But they don't.
And because they can't.
But 830 miles? That's what they said they were at the beginning of their... Where are they going?
Well, because they had to loop around because of where the fighting is and everything like that. They said it. You can't take the freeways. They're all vaporized.
Yeah, I got that. But 830 miles, that's another 600 miles?
Steve, it's called story. No, you know that.
I get the fact that they were going through these different towns, one town, like, completely oblivious, and in fact just said, we don't want anything to do with this.
Yeah, we just sort of pretend it's not happening.
We're going to be Mayberry, and you can you all have to live with it. The other ones are just horrifying.
Yeah, we get a few post-apocalyptic things this week that we're going to talk about on the movie show. But what it comes down to, is, for what I thought was, it wasn't a political statement other than, don't let this happen.
Yeah, we need to figure out a way to get along.
And there was no one side that was favored over the other.
That's true.
And that's probably the biggest question that most people have. It's a hard watch, I think. A difficult thing to watch.
A lot of war. The tragedy of war is everywhere.
And the pointlessness of it is really emphasized, of the people who die.
And the barbarism.
Oh, yeah. And it's really, cinematically, it's very well made, and the sound mixing is amazing. My teeth were rattling when those mortars were going off.
Yeah, I agree. Everything about this movie, except there's one moment, and we both agree, there's a section in the film where one of the characters does something that doesn't make any sense, and it just almost pulled me out of the movie to a point where, like, no, you can't do this.
Yeah, I was dissatisfied with a part of the resolution, but not... I can't say any more than that for the people who are going to watch the
movie. You'll see it, and you'll recognize it immediately.
But I felt like a character didn't get their just desserts at the end.
Yeah.
So that is Civil War. I gave it a... Let's see, what did I give it? I gave it a B-.
I gave it a B.
You gave it a B. Okay, so you're a little higher on that than me. So that is our big movie of the week, sponsored by Paris RV.
And by the way, you'll take whatever into it that you want to bring into it. So if you think it's about Trump, you're going to see it that way. But it's being very careful not to do any of that.
Our question of the week to our texters, and we put it on both our Facebook page, KSL Movie Show, and out to the Movie Show Club members that we text before every show. What is a movie that you have seen 10 times or more? And I've just been interested to see what movies do people just love. We say bonus points if it's a franchise movie, not a franchise movie. And I'll also throw in a bonus if it's not a holiday movie, because those kind of have a built-in repeat viewing of them.
Yeah.
You know, Christmas Vacation, I love it, and I watch it every year. I didn't even think of those when I was thinking of this
White
question.
Christmas, I've probably seen at least 100 times.
But it doesn't matter. You can send those in to us also. Here's a vote for our texter. Just barely came in. Fiddler on the Roof and the 1984 George C. Scott Christmas Carol, which... I just watched this last Christmas for the first time, or at least first time as a grown-up. So this will be fun to get your texts at 57500. We've got a lot on the movie show today, including some more. We'll talk about another war film. In fact, when we come back on the movie show, we will be talking with director T.C. Christensen ahead of or with the release of his new film, Escape from Germany.
It's the world-famous KSL Movie Show on KSL News Radio.
It's the movie show. We've been asked the question, what is the movie you've seen more than 10 times? Bonus points if it's not a franchise movie. We've had a lot that aren't a franchise movie. Here's one. I didn't expect to see this one, but I'm always glad to see these. Witness. Harrison Ford's Witness.
Yeah.
What's Up, Doc? That's a great one with Barbara Streisand.
Classic.
And then The Natural. I would probably put Hoosiers on my list that I've seen more than 10 times, for sure.
Yeah, I could say that.
A sports movie is a good one. Here's one, Down Periscope. I wouldn't have thought it's somebody. But
is
hey, comedies.
Is that from Kelsey Grammer?
Possibly. And then Ever After, the one with Drew Barrymore.
Oh, that was a sweet one.
Here's somebody who likes comedies from a certain specific year. This actually might be Blues Brothers is one.
Ooh.
Patton.
This is Dave Meekum.
That's what I was thinking. And Caddyshack. I don't know. Maybe I don't know if Dave likes Caddyshack, but that would be Dead Air Dave for the longtime movie show fans. Shawshank Redemption. That one doesn't surprise me to see it on there.
It's surprising because that's a really gritty movie.
Yeah, but and it was on TNT so many times.
They did clean it up, didn't they?
They did. I actually recorded that version so I could.
Do you remember the part about the sisters? And they go, no.
The
is
sisters?
That in there? What is that about?
All right. Well, let's review some movies, Steve. We're going to talk with director T.C. Christensen about Escape from Germany. He's going to be here in our next segment. So let's talk about the movie La Chimera.
Ah.
It's in Italian.
Questo è il fidanzato di Beniamina.
Have you found her?
Not yet, no.
Non ti perdere d'animo to find her.
We have an internationally fluent audience on the movie show. So we feel like we can play foreign clips without.
Absolutely.
So, Steve, what did they say in that scene?
But they said that, hey, have you found your girlfriend yet? No, I haven't. But this guy, he is, they call him Arthur the Dowser. And he's in Italy, and he uses the divining rod, and he can find all of these Etruscan burial sites. And what they've done is, you know, in Italy, it's illegal to raid these tombs. But he's got a little group of guys that, you know, they don't know anything. They just follow him around until the divining rod goes. And then they start digging, and they find a hole, and it's a passageway. And suddenly there are, you know, all kinds of treasures down there. He just has this knack to find these things. But metaphorically, he's still looking for his lost love, and yet he finds such joy in finding these artifacts that the other guys are just trying to make money off of. He's doing it for the love of the art. And so it's really weird. Isabel Rossellini plays his mother. He's been in prison for a while. He just gets out, and they start right back in doing their old thing again. But, you know, eventually they're going to find a mother lode that's just going to blow people's minds.
But we don't have Shailene Woodley trying to do an Italian accent, right?
No, no. These are all Italian, except for the one Englishman. I mean, he speaks fluent Italian. So it's an interesting film. You know, it's one of those where it's just so cerebral that you kind of like, yeah, all right, that was kind of cool.
This is for more the art film lovers.
Yes, definitely. And you know, you see some of the treasures that they find, but these guys are so brutal about it. Like, oh, all we need is the head, you know, or whatever. You're like, ah, don't do this. So there's a mix of brutishness, and then there's also the mix of the artistic side of it that sometimes clashes a little bit.
So did you like it?
I liked it, but I didn't love it.
Okay.
So I would say B minus.
A B minus for La Chimera, and it's playing at the Broadway, I assume?
It is at the Broadway, yes.
Okay. And so that one is in Italian with English subtitles.
Yes.
Or, you know, we got a lot of Italian speakers here that went there on
that
missions
might work,
and stuff. It is fun, I will say, having watched recently one with a bunch of Portuguese in it, it's kind of fun to hear both languages and fully understand them as opposed to having to read one and, you know, just sort of natively understand
it. It is nice how it comes back, doesn't it?
So that is La Chimera. We've got, we're going to go to our break a little bit early because we want to talk with T.C. Christensen when we get back on the movie show. And we'll also, we still got a few more movies to review, including one, Steve, that you recommended more highly than I ended up enjoying it. We'll talk about a Nick Cage movie as we go on the show.
Arcadian?
Coming up, yes, on the movie show.
The KSL Movie Show.
That is a stupid design, and your instructions were very unclear.
The week's big movie review. Games and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
These curious creatures crawl, creep, and climb their way through life.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Oh, and we are pleased to be joined by a longtime friend of the movie show. It's not his fault that he wasn't here for our last segment. It was my fault. Let me send him the intersection, but not the
Let's not blame.
But, we told people.
We gave him a
They
da
were
Vinci
all excited. We got texts like, where is T.C.? But T.C. Christensen, friend of the movie show, local filmmaker, and maker of many films that had brought tears to my eyes many a time, including the latest, Escape from Germany, which we will review a little bit later in the show. But we're excited to have you on because there's a lot of anticipation around this. And TC, one of the things that I've found since you and I sat down for a longer 45-minute interview as a digital extra that you can listen to on KSLNewsRadio.com or KSLPodcasts.com, where we go into a few things. But one of the things about Now I've completely lost my question. Steve, you ask your question first because I totally lost my train of thought.
Well, I mean, the first thing I noticed was anytime you do a period piece like this, the cost has to be enormous. And I'm not going to say what you told me, but that's the miracle to me, is that you were able to make this movie for what you did make it for. But there's always questions that we have, especially when you do a true story. And one of them just glaringly came out to me is when a mission president steals a train. Come on, dude. Really?
We got a clip.
You will come with me now.
Nope, that's the wrong clip. Other clip.
I am American.
Everybody ready?
President Wood, are we doing the right thing? Mission presidents don't steal trains.
This one does.
This one does.
Okay.
Yes.
Give it to me.
Yeah. When I was reading the research, it was a little shrouded. It was like, I think they stole the train. And I called the writer of the book that is my partner in this, Terry Montague, and I said, I think they stole the train. And she said, yeah, they stole the train. But the reason that it has been a little shrouded is because all of these missionaries were told when they went home, don't talk about this.
Oh.
And because we're not at war with Germany, and we don't want to inflame relations. And so they would just hint at certain things. And then many of them just got lost in life and didn't talk about it at all for 30 or 40 years until Terry got a hold
of it. It was that generation that never really brought it up.
Yeah. So, but for you, they actually stole the pick and train. I love that.
Oh, my gosh. I was like, seriously? And then they, don't
did Terry, the ferry part happen?
Did the ferry not leave without them, kind of?
Well, they got there right where the ferry was, and they just got a perfect time where they could get on, get out.
While they're getting shot at by Nazis.
The Nazis and the shooting, maybe I took a little leeway.
Okay.
You got me on that. But the incident for sure happened.
Amazing.
One of the things that in our longer interview that you elaborated on a little more, but I'd love for our live radio listeners to hear a little bit about it, is when you're adapting something, you say most of the things happened, even if they didn't necessarily happen to that character at that moment. Yeah. We actually have a clip of that. Now let's play that one clip.
You will come with me now.
I am an American citizen. I demand to speak with the military police.
Don't you touch me! If you touch me, there's going to be a fight.
So that's Elder Siebold, the main character. And that didn't actually happen to Elder Siebold, but it did happen to somebody in his mission. Is that correct?
No, that's a Siebold
that
thing.
That did happen to Elder Siebold.
He stood up to a military or a town policeman with a gun in Nazi Germany and said, no, I'm not going to do what you say. I find that incredible. I think we have finally we got our Mormon Clint Eastwood. There's a guy.
Elder Siebold.
That kid, your lead, was fantastic.
Paul Wuthrich, love him, and he's going to be doing more because
he's got that.
Terrific.
He's got it, doesn't he? He has got it, that it factor. Mm-hmm.
And he had to convey a lot too. You know, the frustration of being asked to do something that's basically impossible when you first hear it. Mm-hmm. How does somebody do something impossible in impossible situations like this?
Well, let's add to it. These are missionaries, and he's sent by himself. That's not how this is done. You see missionaries?
There's two.
There's always two.
Yeah.
Not in this case. And we don't know why, but the mission president said, I want you to go do it by yourself. That's Clint Eastwood. See?
Yeah, that's some serious.
I do remember what I was going to say, and that since I posted that interview on my Facebook page, and we've had some people message the station and message me on Facebook to say, that's my grandfather in this movie, or my uncle was one of the missionaries that got evacuated. And that was something that was really neat. As you say, some of their descendants are in the movie.
We made a big effort to find their descendants, the actual evacuated missionaries, and invited them to be extras on the set. And they came in hordes. They were terrific, and they made me cry. Every day I would introduce them to the crew and the cast. And to look, and I'd say the next day, I'm not going to cry today. I've already cried about this. And I'd look at them, and they're just so fresh-faced, and they're so happy to be there honoring their ancestor. They were great.
Okay, the book burning thing. Book burning always makes me crazy. Mm. How did you pull that off?
In terms of filming it?
Yeah.
Well, we have a great special effects guy that works here named Chuck Johnson. He got a fire going for us. We bought a bunch of books, which drove my wife crazy because she loves old books.
I agree.
Everyone that went in the fire, she was crying about.
Well, the Articles of Faith, you know, that's a rare piece right there.
That was a replica, though, right?
Yeah, it had to be.
It was something had made up for that.
Because that's your budget right there.
Yeah, could have been. But it was the trouble, Steve, really, is time. we have so little time. If you're doing a big Hollywood movie, you might have days to do a scene like that. We have to do it in 3 hours because we got to move on.
How long was the shoot for this?
Well, we worked here in the Utah area for 19 days and then went to Budapest, Hungary, to do some of those big train depot, train barns, and some of those old trains there. We were there for about a week.
That's amazing.
So some location shooting in Budapest.
Less than a month, this whole movie.
Oh, yeah. We have to do it fast.
Sounds
so
miraculous.
So we have to be planned. You know what's... I like it. Asking me about miracles. The first day on the set, my partner Ron Tanner came over to me and said, "How many miracles are in this movie?" And I said, I don't ask Steve about the number
of miracles.
Yeah. You'd be counting those miracles.
Okay, quiet over this. I don't know. I hadn't even thought about it. I went home that night, counted what I thought are miracles in the film, and I counted 21. Well, we had done 17 miracles. That's so 2010. We're up to 21 now, boys.
Nice.
Well, that's, and there were, I mean, one of the things that I, and I've said this before, for me, for faith-based movies, when they're based on true stories, they always resonate with me because you can watch it and say, okay, this is what the people who were involved said happened. And that always is more meaningful to me than one that's just, you know that a writer wants you to get to a certain point, so they write the story to get to that point. But when it happened to somebody, it happened.
I feel the same way. That's why I always do true stories.
I tell you, when you got to me, Siebold showing up at the mission home with all, you know, he'd been out there dragging everybody in, and he's the last one. Mm-hmm. That you got me there.
He was the last one, and what did we say? I think it's 8 hours later. The war started. They invaded Poland, and boy, they'd just barely gotten out. Had they not gotten out, that's big trouble, because who are these guys? Germany doesn't like these young men that
They're
are
kids.
Over there. And like, who are they? Are they spies? What are they doing here? And if the war would have started and the borders closed, they could have been in jail and in trouble for a long time.
You know what else I liked was the idea that these were young men and that they were goofing off. And they had no idea the seriousness that they were in. And sometimes they were 20-year-old kids. And I thought that was beautifully represented, I thought.
The one thing I wished I had talked about with you in the long interview that I want to bring up here, the sister missionary. And first of all, I don't know when sisters started serving, but this one, boy, she was a ball of faith. Mm-hmm. And she talks her way into getting her passport stamped.
Yes, that's a true story. And that was Irma Rosenhan. She just, she's the only missionary that I was able to interview. She was still alive when I started research. I so wanted to film her. I had a place to put her in the film. And she died just before we started filming, and she was 105 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's Escape from Germany. It opened yesterday
in theaters throughout Utah.
With anybody who's listening from outside of just Utah, there is a regional plan, and it can go from there as long as people come see it.
Thanks. I hope they will. We had a great opening yesterday, and it's in all our theaters now.
Well, TC, congratulations. You got us both. And by the way, stay through the credits, because there's some great emotional stuff in the credits also. And the miracles continue through the credits.
They really wrap it up, and you find out all of the aftermath. Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming on the movie show. We appreciate it. If you want to hear an even longer version, go to kslnewsradio.com, and there's a link to the podcast interview that I did with you earlier this week. Thanks, TC.
Thanks, you guys. Thanks.
Thank you.
The movie show.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
On KSL News Radio.
Steve and I were just talking. Speaking of movies,
how dare we?
One of the biggest movies of all time, Titanic.
Yeah.
Sunk on this date or so, 1912.
Yeah, April, when was it?
14th. April 14th. Okay, so it was 2 days from now, 1912.
Wow.
And Rose let Jack drown because there was room on that door. All right, well, let's remove him.
Now, you know, they did a thing and they said, no, that wouldn't have worked.
They couldn't have both got on. I thought they did a thing that proved that they could have.
Well,
that's science for you. It'll prove whatever you want it to prove. All right, let's review another movie, Steve. Let's do the one that you recommended, Arcadian.
There are those who believe they came after the pollution people caused, and they're here to cleanse the planet of the human race, so we'll all become extinct. You have to stay vigilant. Do you understand?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so we catch Nick Cage and his two sons. They are living on a farm. This actually was shot in Ireland. I didn't realize.
Was it really?
Yeah. But just a little rolling hills farm thing. And they're getting a little nervous because it's getting late in the day. And I thought, oh, well, maybe Daddy just likes him home before dark. One boy just goes off and he's working on another farm, but they actually have a daughter over there that he's kind of keen on.
I knew that, by the way, before the daughter even showed up. I'm like, oh yeah. He's going to see a girl.
Oh, that's exactly. Like, why are you so eager to go work at the other farm? And then his other son is like a genius. He invents all kinds of stuff. But when it gets to nightfall or just before that, they start battening down the hatches and locking doors and like putting, boards and, I think, what are they anticipating? And sure enough, there's something out there that wants in. We don't know exactly what it is right away, but...
Or ever.
Well...
Oh, we see it, but what the hey is it? I have no idea.
That was the coolest monster I think I've ever seen. You didn't like it. Okay. So at one point, the kid's supposed to go to the farm, and he comes back. He slips into a cavern, and so the other son comes home, and he says... I don't know where Tommy is, but they got to go find him. So they put themselves in peril by going out where the creatures are at night.
Well, Dad does.
Dad does, right. The other son, that's right. He stays and he tries to do some
his job is, I don't want to go any further because that'll give away some of the fun, but his job is to stay home and lock the house up tight again.
Yeah. I mean, Dad,
so Dad,
is very
Dad
strict.
And the other son are going to be out wherever, whatever these things are. Is going to be, and he's just supposed to stay inside the house. And
that was your stumbling point, is what these things are?
No, it was one of many.
Oh, really? Wow.
But anyway, no, you go ahead.
No, the idea is try to keep them out at night. They don't know much about them. They're trying to, the son is actually trying to catch one so that he can, maybe dissect it and figure out what they're all about. But, and then the other farm is much bigger, rich people. But the
there's a caste system even in whatever this is.
Yeah, exactly. The haves and the have-nots. But the creatures have come up with a way to maybe get at these people. And I thought it was a decent, kind of scary little movie. Man, they've got the little buzzsaw going thing with their little mouths.
I was going to say, I don't know. That was one of the
it's
things
like
that got
me. It's like
a
hedge trimmer.
I thought there were some cool survival moments. I always like seeing Nick Cage. But I just had so many parts where I'm like, huh? What? And
did you watch this while you were driving home?
No. I sat down and watched this last night. I'm still not sure. I did not doze off. I'm still not exactly sure what was going on. I'm not sure what the things were that were chasing him, other than that they could somehow morph into a giant wheel like those wolves did in Storks, which I thought was a joke.
Oh.
Because it was a joke in Stork, so I don't know if that's a real thing or not. And just the cinematography was messy, it was hectic, and for me, this one's a pass.
Wow. Well, I like Nick Cage. I enjoyed this more than I thought I would, and so it's a not pass.
A not pass from Steve.
Watch it.
Yeah, Arcadian.
It is rated R for the violence.
It is. And again, maybe if you like the survivalist type movie,
yeah.
Go for it.
This is like the movie with, the Affleck kid, Casey Affleck, when he was protecting his daughter.
I didn't remember the name of it.
Of course, put it on your list.
I'm not going to put that one on my list. If it's like this one, I'm not going to put it on my list.
It's really good.
All right.
It's a similar movie.
That's Arcadian, and I give it like a C minus.
I gave it better than that. I gave it a B+. How about that?
How about that?
It's the KSL Movie Show.
They won't fear it until they understand it. And they won't understand it until they've used it.
The week's big movie review, movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
What are you doing here? Thinking about turning our house into a nuclear power plant?
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Movie Show only does things one way. And when we turn it up, Steve, we turn it all the way up to?
11.
That's right. By the way, a sequel to that's coming.
Yes. This is more Spinal Tap?
More Spinal Tap coming, yes. We asked the question, what movie have you seen in the not in the theaters, but just what movie have you seen more than 10 times? I'm sure there's some people that could put Spinal Tap on that list. This is Spinal Tap. Yeah. Here's some votes. Pride and Prejudice, that doesn't surprise me at all. A lot of votes for Princess Bride. That could be on my list. But what we need to do right now on the movie show, because we got a little squeezed for time, we need to do the movie show top 10. And we're going to do an abbreviated form, Movie Show Top 10, sponsored by Call Climate Services.
Yeah, hold on to your hats.
From repair and replacement and installation, callclimate.com. Okay, so we're going to do it this way. I'm going to read you the top 10, and you're just going to say whether you think people should watch it or not.
Okay, there's one I haven't seen. So.
Okay, Wicked Little Letters. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, number 9, Immaculate. Yes or no?
Yeah.
Number 8, Arthur the King.
Definitely.
Number 7, Someone Like You. Oh, I like that one. I say yes.
Okay.
Number 6, Dune Part 2.
Yes, surprisingly.
Number 5, Kung Fu Panda. Wait, why surprisingly? That's my favorite movie of the year.
I know.
All right, I'm derailing this. Number 5, Kung Fu Panda 4.
Yeah, okay.
Number 4, The First Omen.
It's up to you.
Oh. I guess if you like this kind of movie, it wasn't terrible.
That's not a one-word answer now, is it?
You know. Number 3, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. That's a long word, but it is a word. Number 2, Monkey Man.
Oh, that's another one I haven't seen. Dang it.
Oh, that one, if you like bloody punch fests, definitely.
Yes.
And number 1, Godzilla times Kong equals the new empire.
Yeah. No. Ah.
And that is the Movie Show Top 10.
Make a decision.
Oh, all right. But we got more movies to review, Steve. And what we want to do here is the one we were just talking about with filmmaker T.C. Christensen, Escape from Germany.
Think he made it home by now?
Escape from Germany.
German army will invade Poland.
Our U.S. military has no knowledge of any such aggressive activity on the part of the Nazi army.
If I may, sir, I believe President Heber J. Grant is a better source of intelligence than the U.S. military.
So this tells the true story of the evacuation of missionaries for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints out of Germany in the weeks just before World War II starts. Elder Siebold, I believe, is the one who's talking in that clip. He's tasked by his mission president to find about 30 elders scattered across parts of Germany to get a hold of. He's got to take money to them so that, because they don't have money with them. This is in the days where your family sent you money for your mission support. Oh, yeah. And so he has to take money to get them on trains and get them out of Germany before the war starts. And Germany is closing borders all over the place at this time.
Yeah, this is a fantastic story. I have to admit, I enjoyed every bit of this. I liked how it was human. The elders were goofballs, but they realized we've got to get out of here. The lead guy, he must have said Dumkopf about 400 times because he's like, these guys are idiots.
I did like how he teaches the new missionary the get out of here, you stupid Mormons.
Oh, yeah.
Was welcome to Germany.
Yeah.
So he heard it a bunch. He's like, well, thank you. I appreciate it.
That one. How about the one Nazi guy that's like, he always had the face. He showed up at the book burning and then later on when they were going through the.
Well, he's the one I think that confronts him about the money. I think, unless there was another one. There was more than one Nazi. But for me, I thought it was well told, emotional, and it had me caring not just about the missionaries, but about the German saints, the people who were in Germany, including one of the branch presidents was called up to the army. And
That was
heartbreaking. Not everybody was the mustache twirling Hitler supporter.
No.
And this shows like there's more than what you probably knew, and how heartbreaking it was for the missionaries to have to leave them. And you know, there's a thing during the credits that was one of the things that made me cry, was one of the missionaries who got out was joined the Air Force later, and I'd love for you to experience that as you find out what the end of that story is. But for me, I gave it a B+. I thought it was really emotional, and it got me just like TC always gets me. He always does. I think, nah, he's not going to get me this time. And then he does.
Another one he got me on was in the train when the little girl that was president's daughter talking to the little Jewish girl. She goes, what is that thing on your shirt? And she goes, it's to let people know to hate us.
Oh, yeah, to treat me bad, to treat us badly.
I'm like, oh, dude, you got me there.
So I was really impressed with what they were able to do. It's hard to shoot a period piece on an independent budget. And I thought they did. There were times where it shows, like you can tell.
Yeah.
But I thought it was it's an amazing accomplishment for what it is. And I recommend it to people who want a faith uplifting story.
Yeah. Even if you're not, not of the cloth, it's still a pretty good movie. I gave it a B.
Awesome. And that is called Escape from Germany. It's rated PG, and it is playing in wide release in Utah. If you're listening outside of Utah, it is there's a regional opening next week, and then if it does well, it can go wider. I have a cousin in Texas who really wants to see it, and can make it down there. So that is Escape from Germany. Let's see. Before we go to break, let's talk about Sting.
Oh, yes.
Hey there, little guy. We're going to call you Sting.
What the hell happened to it?
What the? Where did a spider grow in a couple of hours?
Very noise.
Now, I didn't see this one, but it's spiders. And I know that there's every member of my family will never go near this.
Oh, yeah. I know a lot of people that won't touch this, but I actually am afraid of spiders. But this movie is so well done that it I know it handles a lot of the tropes from horror films. You've got a bunch of people in a building, and this asteroid comes in, but it's just a little tiny one. And it turns out to be a spider, and this girl, Charlotte, she is going to take care of it. But she's very independent. But she also has, like, a cool stepdad. They're never cool, ever. This guy's draws graphic cartoons, and she loves all his drawings, the mother, the little boy. But you got grandma downstairs who has dementia. She keeps calling the bug control guys. One of them played by Jeremiah.
Not John Goodman this time.
No, but he's in
that's
another,
an arachnophobia
he's
reference.
In another movie that we're going to talk about today. The Babysitter's Dead.
Oh, okay.
He's in that movie also, but he plays his exterminator. Like, why, Helga, why'd you call these other people? She has dementia, and she hears these noises. She keeps calling guys, and the spider, you know, is getting a lifetime supply of food. So it's funny.
Wait,
it,
this sounds almost like, what's the musical?
Yes, Sweeney Todd. Fowler, huh?
It sounds like Sweeney Todd almost. Like,
well, yeah.
She's feeding the murderous spider.
Well, at first, but then the spider's I don't need you anymore.
Okay, all I know is I saw a picture where a spider looks like it's about to crawl in somebody's mouth. Is that true? Is that in the movie?
That's in the movie.
Then I'm out.
That's in the movie, yeah. It's a little nice little Spanish lady. You're thinking the chihuahua is going to get it. That's the thing about this movie. It throws you little curves. The girl's name is Charlotte, which I thought was funny.
Oh, gosh.
So there's all these little moments that kind of like tell you that this is better than you think it's going to be.
Okay.
It's called Sting, and I gave it a B. This could be like a
cult classic.
Maybe. I mean, it's
one that a bunch of people watch at a party to freak themselves out.
It's really pretty well done. I was shocked.
Okay.
How much I got a kick out of it.
What did you give it?
I give it a B.
And that is Sting.
Yeah.
The Movie Show.
Spock, you haven't changed a bit. You're just as warm and sociable as ever.
No, have you, Doctor? As your continued predilection for irrelevancy demonstrates.
On KSL News Radio.
The Movie Show, we still got a lot of stuff to tell you about, so it's time to talk about our big streaming reviews. And we actually have several things of note, and I thought all of the streaming stuff we had this week was actually pretty solid, which it isn't always.
That's true.
So let's start with Fallout.
The mission of the vaults should be important to everyone. To come up to the surface one day and restart civilization. Can you tell me what's happened in the last 200 years?
Holy, you're an actual vault dweller.
I am.
I thought all you did were dead.
All right, this is an adaptation of a video game series called Fallout. It's set in an alternate future where nuclear bombs devastated America in about the 1960s. That's what it seemed like from the opening scene. But now it's 200-plus years later, and some people live in bunkers underground, while others live on the irradiated and lawless surface. And when I say lawless, you think Wild West times like 100, only with mutants mixed in. And so what we do is we follow several characters from the different places as their stories cross over.
So at the beginning, I thought this felt like Silo. These are people that are stuck underground. They don't have any idea what's going on up above. And it took a whole series, a whole season to finally, you know, peek out. No, this one happens in the first hour.
Episode, yeah. It's in the first episode.
And Lucy, the one who goes out, is so naive, but she's looking for her father. I thought her naivete was hysterical because she's like, excuse me, sir, could you point me in the right direction? Hey, little girl, with it, you know.
Oh, yeah, and she gets this from everybody.
Yeah, but she's pretty, like, she's like, okie dokie, you know, whatever. And I'm hooked.
It's very entertaining. They get right into it. I mean, it is mature audiences only. This is one where
it's very violent.
Yeah,
and
but if you played the video game, this will probably be right up your alley. And as far as even if you haven't played the video game, I haven't played the video game. You haven't.
No.
But
clue.
It was certainly an entertaining and one that I would be interested in finishing.
And Walton Goggins playing the ghoul.
I was going to say Walton Goggins plays what looks exactly like the Red Skull.
Yeah, okay, I can see that.
But it's unique. There's like weird little bits of humor sprinkled in at random moments, and it never takes itself too seriously, which I actually thought made it kind of more entertaining even than it might have been otherwise.
Yeah, it's like Silo 1 minute, then becomes Thunderdome, and the color and the wackiness of the characters are just...
There's one guy that looks like Iron Man crossed with a Stormtrooper.
Iron Man.
The Knight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so they've got all the things. Like
Michael Rapaport, who was...
That was him, right?
Yeah, Michael Rapaport was like, he was such a jerk.
Well, that seems to fit the Michael Rapaport. No, yeah, just kidding.
I think that's exactly why they picked him.
Wasn't like, playing against
dude, type. I need you to get in that suit and yell at this kid for a good 10 minutes.
He's like, he signed me up.
I got it.
And you can use as many F-bombs as you want.
Yeah, and you can write your own dialogue because it's... So I'm only into it a couple episodes, but I'm going to go back and watch some
also,
of this.
You'll get mauled by a bear, but that's all right.
Oh, yeah, that bear was he was no fun.
So that is Fallout. All 8 episodes are available on Prime Video right now. That's Fallout. We've got another series called Franklin. It's about
the Congress has sent me here as a representative of the United States to elicit France in our war against England.
Grandfather, how long must we stay?
Until we win France to our side or we are hanged.
Is there a third choice?
And yes, that was Michael Douglas you heard as Benjamin
Franklin. I'm not sure
Franklin.
I can get used to that.
That I would have never thought. You know who'd make a good Benjamin Franklin? Michael Douglas. I never thought that. But he doesn't do terrible.
I was thinking Paul Giamatti would do a good Franklin.
He's already been John Adams. He can't be both of them.
Well, why not? I mean, who cares?
Well, I guess he could. But I'm okay. You do get used to him.
I just hope they never show the real Ben Franklin so we compare him to Michael Douglas. Like, wow, that doesn't even look anything like him.
Well, you certainly would believe him less as a Lothario if he doesn't look like... Although, okay, so being it on Apple TV Plus, this basically follows Franklin as he becomes an ambassador to France. So it's post-signing of the Declaration of Independence, but it's still early on in the Revolutionary War.
This is a secret mission, though, right?
You know what? That's a good question. I watched a lot this week, and that's a detail that's escaping me right now.
Yeah, no, he went over there before all of that, and he was
trying
to
But the Congress knew. He was authorized by the Continental Congress to go do this.
Right, to try to get support from France.
Yeah, because they... one of the things as I've read up on the series, and Michael Douglas even said this, they're taking it to Cannes, and part of it is to thank the French. Like, hey, we give a lot of grief to France in America, but if it wasn't for them, we might not win the original Revolutionary War.
Yeah, but they held ulterior motives. They were like
but they still helped.
Lessen the strength of Great Britain by, you know, taking care of the Americans. But, yeah, no, the fact that they were there and Lafayette, he was all gung-ho.
Right, and if you've seen Hamilton, you're like, oh, wait, I know who that is because he's going to go over and be friends with Hamilton.
That's right.
That's what I was thinking the whole time you meet him. And, you know, Franklin's grandson's with him. That's the kid who's like, is there a third option?
Yeah,
he's kind of hanging out with the teenage rich punks of Paris at the time. And so it's... Being on streaming, I thought it was going to be a lot more adult, like with more language or more spice or whatever. And there's a little bit of violence.
How deep are you into it?
I'm only 2 episodes in.
Yeah, me too.
Does it get...
I don't know. That's
well, I would have thought there would have been a hint by 2 episodes in, but...
Well, the harpsichord lady, come on.
Yeah, but they don't do anything.
Well, they will.
Maybe. But any rate, Franklin, 2 episodes in. I'm enjoying it so far. If you can just get past Michael Douglas's Benjamin Franklin.
That is the absolute key right there.
So we've got more to talk about, a couple more things. One that I saw on streaming called The Greatest Hits that we'll talk about coming up later in the movie show. And we've got Telephone Torture to do in our next segment. Steve, what's our theme?
Oh, Telephone Torture. Our theme is a golf movie since the Masters is underway right now.
And there was a golf movie that the studio wouldn't let us watch for some reason.
Oh, that's right.
The Long Game.
We begged for it.
Yeah. So we'll talk about all of that coming up on the movie show.
The KSL Movie Show. Telephone Torture.
All right, Steve, it's time for Telephone Torture, and you're going to torture us today with a golf movie, because for some people, golf is torture.
Oh.
For some people.
Nice.
Not me. I enjoy golf. I don't really watch it very much, but I enjoy playing it.
Yeah.
So a golf movie, because today begins the Masters, and there was a golf movie today's Friday.
Thursday.
Thursday. You're right. Anyway, so here's how we do telephone torture now, sponsored by our friends at Larry H. Miller Megaplex Entertainment. We're going to give you three clues, and as soon as you think you know the answer, after any one of the clues, you can call in at 801-575-8255 and try to guess it. If we get three wrong answers on the phone, we will take the first correct answer that comes through on the text line. So even if you're going to call in and you know the answer, send the text first, then call in, or it's up to you. That's what telephone torture is torturing yourself when you make the wrong decision.
Ooh, I like it.
All right, so what's our first clue, Steve, on the theme of a golf movie?
Okay, you're going to get this one on the first clue because I'm being nice today.
I'm going to get it because I heard you tell Gustavo it.
Okay, there's a yearly golf tournament in Wisconsin where players can only use their 7-iron, and this is inspired by the lead character Meltdown during the film.
Okay, so it's a golf movie.
It's a golf movie.
And it has inspired a tournament in Wisconsin?
Yes.
So this tournament exists because of something that happens in this movie.
You can only use your 7-iron through the whole round.
All right. So you can text 57500 if you think you know the answer. You can call 801-575-8255. Do we have anybody on the line yet? Yes or no? Oh, we got somebody. Who's this?
This is Mike.
Mike, what do you think?
Oh, you know what? I didn't hear the clue because I was dialing in, and it went straight to my van.
Well, you got to make a guess.
Well, can you redo the clue?
Okay, there's a golf tournament in Wisconsin that's based on something that happens in this golf movie that you can only use 7-iron.
Oh, wow. That's a great question. It's going to be a lose a shot. Benjamin Button?
Benjamin Button. Was there golf in Benjamin Button, Corey?
I don't think there was. I think
is that the correct
else.
Answer, Vance, or Corey, or anyone?
You're killing me, Smalls.
There we go. Mike, nice try, my friend. All right,
Thank
Steve.
You
too, buddy. Keep listening. Thank you.
This is definitely going to give it away. In a scene where grouchy golfer David Sims yells at an elderly couple with a kid and a dog about an autograph request, they are actually played by Sharon and Bill and grandson Joe Costner.
Oh, that gives it away right there. All right. Who's this?
Hi, it's Chris.
Chris, you golf fan?
More of a putt-putt kind of guy.
More of a putt. That's fair. That's fair. Are you a golf movie fan?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think the answer is?
Happy Gilmore?
Happy Gilmore. First of all, I love you because Happy Gilmore is one of my 5 favorite comedies of all time. Is Happy Gilmore the correct answer?
No.
Believe me, we tried to convince Steve to make Happy Gilmore the movie, but he hates it.
I don't hate it. No, I like it.
Even though Happy Gilmore 2 has a script finished from what I'm hearing, even though we'll no longer have Bob Barker to be in it to beat up Happy again.
I just can't believe no one got this.
But nice try. That is incorrect. So we've got one more clue, Steve. We've already got correct answers that have come in on the text line.
Okay. So this golfer was a golf pro at a little lousy little golf shop in East Texas, and he qualifies for the U.S. Open, and he screws up dramatically. Come on, people.
And the word Costner really should have given it all away, is what I'm saying. All right, who's this?
This is Vicky.
Vicky. Vicky, do you know golf or golf movies?
No, but I know the
Do you have a good internet connection?
She's got it.
To look it up. All right, Vicky, what do you think it is?
It's Tin Cup.
There you go.
Now, how soon until you knew the answer?
Actually, that was one of my first two guesses when you said it was going to be a golf movie. My guesses were either going to be Tin Cup or Caddyshack.
Or as our producer calls him, Tin's Cup.
He didn't hear you right.
Tin's Cup.
Well, Vicky, congratulations. You win the Megaplex prize pack of?
Of 2 tickets to a movie, two drinks. And
drinks
and popcorn. And by the way, the soundtrack for Tin Cup is one of the best soundtracks ever.
Kevin Costner movie that was about golf that was on HBO? Dead Solid Perfect. I don't know. Anyway, well, congratulations. Stay on the line. Our producer will get your information and get you your prize. Vicky, congratulations. You are our telephone torture winner.
Way to go, Vic.
All right, Steve, let's talk really quick before we go to break about some of the announcements that came out of the National Theater Owners Convention CinemaCon this week, because a whole lot of stuff came out, and I was hoping we would have a chance to hurry and talk about a couple of those things. So these were some of the announcements that were made, including we got a lot of dates, but we got movies announced. We got we don't get to see the trailers for a little bit, but they got to watch the first 35 minutes of Inside Out 2, and I was told in the stuff I read they were howling with laughter and that one could be really good. They got to watch a trailer for Mufasa, The Lion King, that's coming out in December. What else did we get?
Margot Robbie is doing a Monopoly movie.
Yes, they got to see the first... Or no, they didn't tell them where the clips were, but they got to see some footage from Deadpool versus Wolverine.
Okay.
They got to see some from Moana Part 2.
Oh, yeah. In fact, he sang the song, didn't he? Dwayne Johnson?
Dwayne Johnson was actually there. I'm just going through all the different emails. A new scary movie is in the works. Let's see. What else?
There's a bunch of stuff in Warner Brothers that they...
Glenn Powell is going to star in the Running Man remake, the one that Schwarzenegger did. This is from Paramount. There's going to be a live-action musical from Matt Stone and Trey Parker, the South Park guys. It's going to be...
Actually, their musical work, they did a movie called Cannibal the Musical.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is absolutely brilliant.
Well, they wrote the Book of Mormon musical.
Yeah.
A Transformers G.I. Joe crossover movie is now official.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, these are the things. Christopher Nolan's Interstellar is going to get a re-release into IMAX for the 10th anniversary.
So we can try to figure it out again?
Maybe after 10 years we'll understand it. These are all the things that CinemaCon, we're going to have on our friends from Megaplex who were at the thing
to give us some
more information. Of course, we're going to be with them a couple more times before summer starts, so we'll get all that to you.
Including the week of Inside Out, so too.
That is right. That's the week I'm going to be on a cruise. I'm going to miss it.
Oh, no, a cruise.
I'm going to have to see it like everyone else. In the theater with people. And I'm going to have to pay to see it.
The Movie Show.
Who's president of the United States in 1985?
Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan? The actor?
On KSL News Radio.
Back to the Future is one of the movies on my list that I have seen more than 10 times.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good one.
That was the question of the day. Movie you've seen more than 10 times. The text's been pouring in all show. Here's a vote for Charles Bronson in Hard Times.
Wow.
I don't even know that movie. I'm going to have to look that one up. That's cool. Raiders of the Lost Ark, I think that's on my list. Sound of Music is on my father-in-law's list, and that's one of the textures. The Mask. Smoking. That one was good. Here's a vote for Young Frankenstein.
Oh, love.
Willow. I do know a lot of people who love Willow. And yeah. Oscar. Okay, Oscar. Thank you,
somebody else.
Sylvester Stallone. I didn't text it myself. I wouldn't have put Willow as the other one. I don't even know if I've seen Willow all the way through.
Willow.
All right. Well, Steve, before we wrap up the show, we still have a few more things to review. And one that we did see, and we'll just talk about a couple movies that came out that we didn't get a chance to screen. But let's talk The Greatest Hits.
2 years ago, my boyfriend Max passed away.
I can't seem to pull myself back together.
Ever since the accident, certain songs literally pull me back into the past.
So as you heard, it's about a girl who lost her boyfriend in a fatal car crash 2 years before. But whenever she hears songs she listened to with him before he died, she's transported through time back to those moments. But she's only there as long as the song is playing.
Oh.
And while this is happening, she just collapses, like she has a seizure, and passes out wherever she is in the present. So then the question is she really time traveling, or is it just all in her mind? And so that's the question through the whole movie, because it really is about grief. And this is Lucy Boynton, who's been in a surprising amount of things. And I thought she was very good in this. But it's about grief. She goes to a grief support group, and she meets another guy who's grieving. And she walks around with headphones on all the time, and you think she's like one of those people that tunes everybody out, always listening to her own music. But what she's doing is she has to make sure that she doesn't hear any of those songs, But every time she goes back, she's trying to convince us. She doesn't know if in those time travels she can actually change the past because she's never had any luck doing it. So these are the things going on
in
the greatest hits.
Sounds a little complicated, but interesting.
Well, it's less complicated as the way they narrate it out. I'm trying to kind of condense quickly. But the soundtrack, as you might imagine, is fire. The director for this was obviously one where they wanted to put in their favorite songs. And it's a really good – I didn't even know most of the cuts that they were playing, but I liked them all. It's grief and the temptation to live in the lost moments instead of living in the present moments. And I thought it was really well done. I gave it a B+. It's rated PG-13 and it's streaming on Hulu.
That's your pick of the week then.
That and Escape from Germany are my co-picks of the week.
Gotcha.
So that is on streaming, again, the greatest hit. So, Steve, there was a couple movies we didn't get a chance to see, but we want to at least let you know that they exist. One of them is called The Long Game.
Yeah, that's with Dennis Quaid, Jay Hernandez, and Cheech Marin is in it, who was also in Tin Cup. This is about a group of boys in Southern California who they want to play golf, and they're all Hispanic.
Now, aren't they the caddies at this country club?
I think some of them are.
We don't know because we didn't see the movie.
Yeah, we begged, and we even got the Megaplex people trying to get it for us, and we couldn't do it off,
and then so. I just didn't have a chance to go to the theater.
It just looks like one of those underdog movies where these guys, you know, are treated like crap, and they end up being really good golfers.
Okay, so that is The Long Game, and that is playing in wide release, and then a remake of right around 1990. It was either 88 or 89, 90, 91 in there. Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. The original had Christina Applegate in it when she was still in her Married with Children fame.
Yeah, this one has June Squibb playing the babysitter.
Which, by the way, the title gives away June Squibb's fate.
Oh, does it?
Well, it's called Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead because she gets the kids who feel like they're too old to be with a babysitter get left with a grandma-aged lady.
Yeah.
Who's not very nice, at least in the original. I don't know if June Squibb is nicer.
Well, this has a little bit more of a racial tone to it because all the kids, the family's black, and then June Squibb is a Bible-thumping white lady who shows up. They go, well, we want to go to this hip-hop thing. Hip-hop ruined the blacks. Yeah, it's just a lot of that going on. But June Squibb, she was nominated for an Academy Award for Nebraska, so it could be fun.
And she might get nominated for this one.
And, again, Jermaine Fowler, who was the Frank the Exterminator in our Sting movie. You didn't even see it.
Well, I know enough to know that I don't want to see it.
Ooh, the spider wasn't going to get you.
So that is Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. That one is rated R, though, I'm assuming for language as much as anything else. So those are two movies we didn't get to see. But, Steve, it's time for Rapid Fire.
If I can remember.
That's a laser gun, by the way. We had some people ask us about that. We deliberately went for lasers on Rapid Fire.
Yeah, that makes some more sense.
Yeah. So, Civil War, our big movie of the week.
Yes, but it's hard. It's a hard watch.
It's a hard watch. Cinematically, very well done.
And acting-wise.
And we saw it in IMAX, and that was really immersive.
And that's how they want people to see it, because the sound on that thing is extraordinary.
So, Civil War, rated R, and it is our big movie.
And don't worry about it trying to be political.
It isn't.
You'll bring your own politics to this movie, whatever you decide you want it to be.
It is no side of the aisle, and I thought, actually, I think that's one of the things that works in its favor. We just talked about that. Escape from Germany is one of my picks of the week. The new T.C. Christensen film about the evacuation of the LDS missionaries from Germany just before World War II.
Yeah, I thought the lead elder was actually quite good. The stealing a train was a cool scene. What TC has been able to do with such a limited budget is beyond imagination.
And it is really, and the fact that for so many people, they're related to people that were in the movie, and some of those people are in the movie. So very emotional. It got me. La Chimera, the Italian film.
It's not great, but if you like Etruscan grave robbing.
If you like Etruscan grave robbing, Steve Sales on the poster for La Chimera. We're going to get that done. I've talked with our digital team. Arcadian, Nick Cage. This one, I'm like, nah.
Now, this was a post-apocalyptic. Again, you know, everything's gone to heck, and there's creatures out there at night, and he has two boys trying to keep them alive, and I thought that was a pretty good movie.
We have Sting, the spider movie.
This one,
did somebody give birth to a spider? Because it looked like that from the poster also.
No, but the spider does whatever the spider wants to do.
Well, you're really not convincing me to see this.
It goes in, it comes out, it goes wherever it wants. Okay. This actually was a surprisingly clever movie, but Spider is the key.
All right, and then on streaming, we have Fallout based on the video game series. We each watched two episodes, right?
Yes.
And it was really interesting, and neither of us have played the video game. Be warned, you got to have a high tolerance for blood and gore.
Yeah.
But it's kind of fun, too, at the same time.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Franklin on Apple TV+.
I guess
Michael
I'll go
Douglas
back.
Is Ben Franklin.
Yeah.
That's basically it. If you can take Michael Douglas as Ben Franklin, I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, agreed.